If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn in it to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and we will be reading in Jesus' name from verses 1 through 13. Would you please stand in respect for the Word of God? He, that is Jesus, went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. Also on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing on their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Heavenly Father, add your blessing to these words and the words of your Son. By the power of your Holy Spirit, work within us your purposes. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The same old, some things go around and around again. If you could, however, today have anything, if what you'd come to expect, lives that are decorated, could we say, with joyous events, but too often with crushing disappointments and griefs and losses, sickness and death, if these were not unchangeable realities, what kind of future for yourself and this world would you desire? What would you want? In the early 1990s, Michael Jackson recorded a song that reflects the deep-seated human cry. "Heal the World," the song that Jackson said in 2001, was the song he was most proud to have created. And the chorus, some of you, it's already going through your head, I'm sorry. "Heal the world, make it a better place for you and me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me." Laudable intent, good desire. Who can argue with it? And time again, throughout the world history, well-meaning and not so well-meaning individuals, smart people, some of them, have come up with a new way to run the world, seeking to introduce a governmental or a social system that will result in what we could call abundant life for all. Better days ahead. And we don't have to go back very far into history to people like Karl Marx or Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, Kim Jong-un, and those who preceded him, or today Nicolas Maduro. And it's the same old strategy in one way or another. Vast differences, of course, in how things were employed, maybe to some degree the philosophy. But they looked at the misfortunes of the downtrodden around them and said, "This isn't right, we need to fix this." And their answer was, "I know, let's change the system. The same old way, the same old story, the way of governing isn't good. This way of doing business is no good. This social model is no good. I have a better idea, and if we just put this idea, this new order into place, everything is going to be great for everyone or almost everyone. A new kind of kingdom. But frequently when these kings or queens or these oligarchs or dictators, those who gain the power to exercise their revolutionary ideas, when they usher these things in, as you well know, it always brings death and destruction. It brings pain and misery. And the problem, of course, is that with each of these novel kingdom designs, they don't take into account the reality of the fact that we, by nature, every last one of us, have a desire that is sinful, that is turned in on ourselves, bent on serving, when push comes to shove, me. Even at the expense of people around us, me. Until you have this reality factored into your societal design, you will never succeed. If you ignore this reality, you will inevitably create kingdoms featuring misery and death. Now, of course, some organizational ideas work quite well, and I'm not an anarchist, by the way. I'm not against organization. We in this nation have been blessed with systems that have been rooted, though some, of course, around us wouldn't recognize it, in many truths that have been reflected. They're reflections of what God says in His Word, and we are grateful for that. Yet even with the best systems, as we well know, those which we recognize and seek to compensate, when we compensate for those fleshly desires, those sinful desires, those turned in on ourselves desires, there still is, we must admit it, heartache that happens even then far too often. So after all these centuries of trying, it makes sense, some would say, maybe just to give up. And maybe that's how you feel today when you look at the world around you and some of the pains and troubles that are there. You say, how in the world can the world change? Oftentimes, it is like, well, things just seem to be getting worse and worse. And in some ways, it's very, very true. People hurt each other. There was a note on YouTube a couple of years ago commenting on this song, and it said this. You probably can't read it from where you're at. It says, I'm sorry, Michael Jackson. It's 2023, and the world is still not a better place. Rest in peace, angel. We all love you. How discouraging. The dream is gone. Are you ready today, maybe in your own life, or as you look at the wider landscape, to say, I give up? What do you place your confidence, I would ask you, in? Is it in new governments, which can be great, new technology, which is wonderful? Is it those things, important as they are? Is it an old guard or a rising star in the political landscape? The people of Jesus' hometown that we read about here sure didn't have much confidence, did they, in their good old hometown boy? Jesus had been, as we've read, he traveled around the country proclaiming and giving signs that anyone that was tuned in should have understood. The light should have gone on and they didn't. Going around the country proclaiming the incoming rule and reign of God, the kingdom of God had arrived in the person of Jesus. And the evidence, the signs were that he had put things right in the lives of many in a very visible way. He had healed the sick, even raised the dead, calmed the storm, cast out demons. And he was, in the eyes of many, as they lapped up what he saw and what they experienced, he was a rising star. But then he comes home, and as we read, he goes there, and they say, where did he get this from? Who does he think he is? Isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary? Isn't he just a good old boy along with the rest of the guys and the sisters in his family? Give me a break. And indeed, he was a carpenter. He was the son of Mary. He did have brothers and sisters. They were community members. But bottom line, they were offended at him. Who does he think he is? He's a wild man. Is he better than all of us? You know how sometimes our hearts go. We know this guy. We knew him growing up. And Jesus comments on this, and he says finally, I can't believe they are so daft. I can't believe they are so hard-hearted. Is that us sometimes? But we don't get it. In spite of what they had heard and seen, the signs and wonders that pointed so clearly to everybody who was in tune with the predictions that the prophets had given throughout the centuries, that the Messiah indeed had come. In spite of all the stories, the accounts that had spread like wildfire, they couldn't get past the reality of this, that Jesus was just a guy. Different, to be sure, but not somebody who could change the world. No, he's just a guy. And perhaps some that day were saying, I don't think Messiah is ever going to come. Things have gone on now for centuries, and we've waited, and we've waited, and we've waited, and we've had a few superstars that have risen, and they seem to be something, and they went under, and life has moved on, and we still are under the crushing political structure where we are essentially slaves to some extent in the Roman Empire. I don't think things are going to get better. Don't we sometimes go there and say, you know what? I don't see things getting better. I don't think the world can really change. But Jesus had a new strategy. What if instead of depending on governmental systems and military power, the world could be changed by changing its people, including me, including you? Would not the world you observe, just think about it, the world that you would observe be a different place entirely if people were changed in a good way, obviously. People that from their heart always loved and served their neighbor as much as themselves. Citizens, not just a few, but every one of them, each brimming with eagerness to share the trade they had earned for the blessing of those around them. Neighbors who will freely share of their wisdom and their skill for the good of those next door. What kind of world would this be? And I think we'd all admit it would be great. If only the world could be healed. And is this Jesus and the people of his village, the people that observed him and despised him, is this man truly a world changer? Well, I you're not surprised, but I have some good news for you today. Jesus is and continues to be generation after generation on a mission restoring God's creation. He doesn't use a war horse. He doesn't use a tank. He doesn't mass armies to shed the blood of those who violently oppose him. He doesn't accomplish his mission through philosophical posturing or governmental oppression. Jesus is intent on changing, better than that, absolutely recreating individuals from the inside out. When you deal with a problem, you need to typically go to the root of the problem. You don't deal with the symptoms and the veneer, do you? What's the problem that continues to give evidence in one way or the other that's very visible? You go to the root of the problem. And so one by one, generation by generation, bringing people of every nation, every age, and every language under his loving care into the shelter of his security and under the direction of his perfect direction for their lives, Jesus is indeed healing the world. So how does he do it? How does this happen? And I don't have to tell you here, because you sit under the preaching of God's word that is done faithfully, and you're learning it in your homes and as you gather together, that Jesus works almost always in an upside down way. Not in the ways you'd expect. In the way of humility. The God of the universe, we hear it all the time, but can you think of it? Taking on human flesh. Living and walking among his enemies. Suffering among us, experiencing rejection by his own, by his closest ones, as we have heard earlier today. He bore the brunt of demonic and cruel political and religious systems. And more than that, as you hear constantly, thank God, he took upon himself the just punishment you and I deserve. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, as it says in Isaiah. And in 1 Peter it says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Talk about upside down. How do you get anywhere doing this? But Jesus knows the final outcome. His corrupted creation will finally be put right upon his return. And today he's at work changing people. You start with the root problem first. And in preparation for that day, Jesus is delivering his healing one person at a time. He's in it for the long game, setting captives like you and I free from the guilt and the power of our rebellion against our Creator, inviting whosoever will to share in his resurrection life. Our patient, life-loving, and life-giving Savior's plan was not to walk in his wisdom the earth in person generation after generation. I guess he could have done that, but instead he sent his followers, you and me, into the world with a grand announcement. A new way of living is here. A new way of life, everlasting, is here. The kingdom of God, his rule and reign, has arrived. Turn and be a part of it. These first disciples were trained, though, in this maybe a little different way than sometimes we train, but hopefully not, through formal instruction, which you do, through informal instruction as you model for your children and for others around you what it is to follow Jesus and live in his grace. And in a very real way, and we can't just use this as kind of a flippant statement, these guys were his family. He said so in so many words in the scripture. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the word of my Father. Family, that's what you are. Don't forget it. As you work with one another, as you care for each other and lift each other up. And so out they went. These guys who had been living with Jesus, and they had been shaped, though as we know them, imperfectly. They were kind of messed up, just like me. And so they go about the villages teaching, it says, they go two by two and they do the work with Jesus does, the signs, announcing, calling people into the freedom and the abundant life that he had to give. And he says, go out trusting in me. That's what we do, right? We learned about that in our discussion group this morning. Follow what Jesus says and trust him. Trust him to take care of you. But they were the same old people, and we know a little bit about the disciples. They were kind of messed up. They didn't get it half the time. How could this exercise, this design that Jesus has for the spreading of his kingdom into all the world, all peoples, all ages, how in the world could something like this possibly be effective? Remember, Jesus operates in an upside-down way. A couple guys here, a couple guys there, getting room and board with a family in a village, telling them this good news. God's rule and reign in the person of the Lord Jesus has come. Seems unlikely. Think about it. Like, what? Seemingly a boneheaded idea. Yet they went, as you do, with their king's authority, with the king who had come into this world to go to the root of the problem. And they went with his life-giving words. And so you, my brothers and sisters, and that's what you are. That's what you are. And you are to each other. Here at Good News, here we are today, a few people gathered together. And what could Jesus possibly do through us? What could he possibly do? We look at ourselves, and probably most of you listening, well, I'm kind of an ordinary person. You know, I don't maybe stand out that much around in my community or above the rest. But here we are walking in the same way, generations later, telling the same old story that Jesus gave us to tell. And we don't just speak the story, but we live the story. We live the story together. The story that I think is so beautifully bundled up in this verse. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Hear it again. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It is finished. It is done for you. That we might what? Just live in the kingdoms of this world? No, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Why and how? Because by his wounds you have been, there's that word that we're talking about today, healing the world. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus goes to the root of the problem, and he is healing the world one person at a time, bringing them into his kingdom under his care. A little reminder for us, you and I are not responsible. Thank God for the uptake that is evidenced in the lives of those to whom this new good news is given through us. We're called to faithfully announce his good news and let God's Holy Spirit work deeply in the hearts of those you live among. So those around you can not only hear the words that you give in a fit and proper way, but as they see you living in a way that's a little weird but good, as you love one another, as you care for one another, opening their ears to hear the good news that Jesus has a new way to live, and it's not just a new lifestyle for a day or two, but it's something that goes on forever. And so they went. They went out, and they proclaimed this news that people should repent, to turn from the old and live in the joy and the wonder and the wonderful dependence upon God that he had for them, to live in a new way, to receive his gifts as you have. Matthew's gospel quotes Jesus in introduction, or rather instruction, this way: proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. So do you want to change the world? Do you want to see it changed? And do you want to be part of it? I know you do. Are you eager for the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ, to come to those that are in your home and in the lives of those in your neighborhood and in your workplace and to the world beyond? I believe you do. You like to see that. And so how will you and I join in this grand divine mission that God is on to restore people to himself, to go to the root of the problem and revolutionize lives one at a time? And yes, as I mentioned to you earlier, we train pastors together and leaders, so important to proclaim this forgiveness and new life through faith in Christ. We together pray for, we support efforts in our home and international missions, but I would submit that the greatest place to share God's great healing work is to walk with those God has placed in your daily life, here and in your workplaces and places of recreation and your next door neighbors. Those whom God has placed into your daily life, in the ups and downs and the nitty gritty and the sharing task and the play and the conversing about the happy and the hard times. Life together. Life in the family. In your home. Dads and moms, those of you raising children in the younger ages, God bless you. You are doing God's work. True? You are doing God's work as you raise them to know and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be world changers, not because they're necessarily better than anybody else, but because they bear a message which sets people free as they live in the freedom that God has given them. And so, brothers and sisters, remember this from the very beginning of creation. Again, as we were talking about this in the class this morning, God loves life. Everything boils down to that. He wants everything to be right and full of life. Anything you see that kind of goes against that is very, very suspect. God loves life. Do you want to have a part in changing the world? Welcome children into your families. Raise a family and invest deeply in their walk with Jesus. Let them see you as parents and other adults walking with Him, depending on Him, putting the matters of the rule and reign of Jesus first in all of life. Why? Because He has borne your sins in His body on the tree, that you might live, not for yourself, but to the Lord Jesus, who cares for you, who will never drop you. Are you single? Are you older? Invest in the lives of children. Not just children, but invest in them. Encourage moms and dads. When I see my daughter, mother of 6 kids, 10 and down, and I say to her, good work. Well done. She tears up a little bit. It's hard. And not everybody looks at that as being so important. But what we do in the nitty-gritty of life is because Jesus is working in and through His Word, through His people. It is life-changing and world-changing. Older persons, single persons, you're part of the family. The Lord has gifted you. I see that happening. This is beautiful. I told Pastor Mike, he said, if I was in this area, this would be my church. I love this. It is, I would come here. I see so much good. Invest in each other. Receive help from each other. So that the Lord can continue to do His work through you. Yes, through the same old story. Don't get bored with it. It changes the world. It is changing the world. And so I invite you today, you who have had Jesus bear your wounds upon the cross, who has set you free to live an abundant life, who's announced this life to you again today. Live in His grace. Live in the gift of forgiveness. An abundant life that He announces. And as you go out, tell the same old story. It's changing the world. Amen.